appreciate the church giving me the opportunity to come before y'all once again. I haven't been at this church, but across, I've been over there at Faith and I think Friendship. So a couple churches up here before, and so I'm thankful to be back up here with you all, and thankful the Lord's blessed us, and just want your all's prayers. But before I get started, some of you don't know me, and you know my you might know my father, Damon Carlock, but you don't know me, and so I feel like it's appropriate that I tell you my salvation and that my call to preach. I feel like that's important because a church needs to know who stands behind the pulpit. We're not supposed to just let anybody just stand behind here without knowing what they're calling, and at least their salvation experience. You all should know that. And so, with that being said, before I get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. My name is Kyle Carlock. I go to Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church. I grew up there. Brother Michael Reed is our pastor. In 1993, I got saved. Brother Berlin Roy, I don't know if you all know him very much, but he was in Russellville, Logan County Church. The Lord, we were in a revival, and the Lord and Brother Berlin was preaching on hell, and I felt the pits of hell that night. I knew that if I was lost, and I was lost and undone, I knew that if the Lord did not save my soul, I knew where I was going. And that night, that hell was so real that I had to go where he was calling me, and that was up at the front on the corner on bench, and I kneeled down and I asked him to forgive me, and he did. But it took 2 years. I fought it for 2 years. I'm so thankful tonight that I have salvation. I am thankful for that. Thankful for my time and place. So let's in Bowling Green. I've been in the healthcare field for about 10 years now. I'm a nursing assistant. The Lord had a revival back in 2010. The preacher was preaching on, if the Lord's got something for you to do, you need to do it. At the time, I was probably around 27 or so, 28 years old. So I was fairly young, but I was getting out in the world. I had just graduated high school, you know, not too long, you know, 19 years old. So between the time I graduated till that specific time, I was out in the world, in and out of church, not really doing what the Lord would want me to do, kind of doing what Kyle wanted to do. And that revival in 2010, Jeff Elliott was preaching about, if the Lord's got something for you to do, you need to do it. And it seemed like that message was resonating over and over and over. And I don't know, and I know that I knew the Lord was talking to me. I knew he was, because every time I stepped in the church doors, where no matter when that was, he was asking me, "Look, Kyle, I've told you what, you know, you need to do what I've called you to do." And so in 2010, he called me to preach, but I ran from it for 5 years. I ran from the calling. I was scared. You don't want me to stand up in front of all these people and tell them to preach the gospel. I was, you know, fighting it out with him. And in 2015, I stood up at our Thanksgiving dinner that we have at Mount Lebanon, and it's an annual thing. And there was a lot of people there. And you just imagine, if the church is full, you already are nervous enough to stand up and tell maybe your testimony, if the Lord's calling to tell you to tell the testimony. You know how nervous you can get just saying the little things like that. But that particular night, the Lord was like, "You need to own your calling, Kyle. You need to own it. Stand up and tell these people what I've told you to do, and own it and start living for me and stop living out in the world." That's what he was telling me. He called me to preach in 2010, and I denied him for 5 years. "Lord, you don't want me to come preach your gospel. You don't want me to come do that." He said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." It's all that was clear in my head. "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." In 2015, I could not keep it in no more, and I stood up and I told everybody, and that burden went away. But then I got another burden: go to work. Immediately after I told everybody my call to preach, he said, "Go to work. Go to work. Don't waste any more time." Wasted too much time as it already was. And so that's my call. He called me in 2010, and I announced it in 2015. Back on the back pew in 2010, he spoke to me. My father told me to make sure that calling was true. And I ran from him. But in 2015, I couldn't run anymore. So here I am tonight, trying to proclaim the gospel to you all in a world where we need the gospel. We need it now. We need it. We've, we're, we're, We're thirsting for it. I was so excited to get to come up here, you all, not to preach, just preach the gospel, but I have a message that the Lord's placed on my heart that I want you all to hear, and I was so thankful to hear that you all weren't going to close down. So thankful for your dedication and your faithfulness to this church and to your home churches. You got a world out there that tells you not to come to church, but we need to be in church. We need to be in church. We can take precautions, but we need to be in church. If that starts, y'all bear with me, because Lord, I'm full. I'm full. I'm just full. Y'all pray for me that I get it out the way He wants me to. If you want to turn with me, and I'm going to read out of the book of Job, and I'm just going to read the first chapter and the first 12 verses, and try not to mess it up in any way. And I've got a lot of different scripture, but I want to get it out. This is the way the Lord presented it to me, and this is the way I've got to do it. So I want to please Him and glorify His name. That's what we're here to do this evening. It says in the first book of Job, first verse, going through the 12th chapter, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and he eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And the sons went and feasted in their house, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered and said, Lord, answered the Lord and saith, doth Job feareth God? For not. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all his he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth thy hand. So Satan went forth and from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to stop right there for a second. I do apologize for maybe a little nervousness, but just pray for me that I can get it out in the manner that He'd have me today. But and I want to draw this together, but I want us to think about this for a second. We have a man that's perfect and upright in the eyes of God. It's Job. He is not, he's perfect in that way. The scripture tells us that. All the men of the earth. And so we think about this past week, and I'm going to try to put it together the best way I can. Let's think about fear for one moment. I want us to think about fear. What does fear mean? In the Webster's Dictionary, it says to feel pain, apprehension of some impending evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with motions of alarm or a solitude. In Matthew 10 and 28, and I just want us to think about Job, okay? This is what he's a very, very good example And this is a situation that I've just described to you. Is a very situation. Job, if you've read all of Job, there's 42 chapters in Job. And from the first chapter to the 42nd chapter, Job is pleading with God and asking questions about things that he thought he had done. You know, he thought he was asking for forgiveness. And he was thinking, he was blaming himself. He was not blaming God for nothing that was going on around him. But just to bring it all together. In Matthew 10 and 28 it says, "And fear not them," Jesus said this, "and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now think about that just for a moment, what Jesus is saying, and how Job, the story of Job is, Job had just perfect and upright, and he had many of sheep and cattle and oxen, and had a beautiful family and sons and daughters. And you've heard the story many times before. But what happened to Job? The Lord wanted to test his faith, didn't he? Wanted to test the faith of Job. So Satan presents himself in front of God and says, "I will make him curse thee." So just think about that for just 1 second, the power of Satan and how he can work. If we think that we can live here and not be affected by Satan, we are wrong. He is affecting us every day and right now as a country and a nation and even our churches. We see his power and what he can do. Job was not blaming God for nothing. He was trying to figure out what he had done wrong. He tried to figure out what was going on that would bring this wrath of Satan upon him. God did not leave him, did he? He did not leave his side. Much like today, we see Satan has come down on churches. He's come down on us Christians that have been saved. If you're here and you're lost and the Lord is dealing with your heart, you need to be seeking him now. Don't waste any more time. But Christians, brothers and sisters, the ones that have been saved by his grace, listen to me. The Lord's just saying, "Look, I'm with you." Just like he told Job, "I'm with you. I'm with you." He has created that hedge of protection around us. Job had boils on his skin. Let's think about this for a second. First, he takes his sons and his dog, all his animals, all his livestock. Then it starts with his family. Then it starts with his health. So let's see, that's how Satan can work. When we start to lose the things around us, we start to get a little bit more humbler, don't we? When we start to realize that we need God more than we need the material things that we see around us. We need him more today than we've never needed him. We've always needed him, but today it just seems a little bit more precious. I'm so thankful today I'm saved, but if you're here and you're lost, you need to be seeking him right now. Get saved before it's ever too late. Job prayed to God and conversated with God and asked him to help him during this calamity that he was going through. Why were you asking? Let's think about this for a second. What is godly fear? I don't want to get too far off the subject because I'll get ahead of myself. But what is godly fear? Anybody know? Godly fear, it says, in good men, the fear of God is in a holy awe and reverence of God and his laws. What was Job doing? Job was in awe of, he did not fear God in the way that we would think that his fear is, or his fear was normal. We're supposed to fear God. We are supposed to. We live in a society that does not fear God. We do not fear. We've gotten away from that. We need to fear the Almighty God, not because of being, not for any particular reason, but that he can judge us and send us to hell if we've not been saved. If anything else, that is the most important. If we're lost and we're undone, then we need to get right with him when he's called us to get right. On his time, not our own time. I'm telling you, there's too many people that think they can just wait. I'm young enough, I can just wait to get saved. Let me live my life a little bit longer, and then I'll get right with God when that time comes. Well, I'm telling you, we're not promised tomorrow. The Lord says us that in the Scriptures, that we are not promised tomorrow. Y'all bear with me. In Psalms 19 and 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." I'll read 9, 10, 11 because it just makes sense. It says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine golder, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." If that doesn't speak about Job, I don't know what happened. Before I get too far, the Lord blessed Job, didn't he? You can read in the 42nd chapter about him blessing the Lord and increasing his family, giving him those blessings back. But I don't want to get too far into it right now because there's other things that I've got to bring out. Let's think about this for a second, our society and where we're at today. We have all the distractions in the world, right, to keep us out of church. We have sporting events. We have our habits, bad habits, things that we do that we should not do that takes us out away. The world in itself is enticing. We live in a world where it's beautiful and the things outside of it are beautiful. And sometimes, and some things that we get caught up in, it can take us away from God, can it? How did God, the devil appeal to Eve in the garden? Jesus told Adam and Eve, told Eve, don't take a bite of that forbidden fruit. That tree and that fruit was probably the most prettiest, most probably taste and most beautiful piece of, probably most beautiful and probably tasted really good. That's how the devil wants to appeal to us. He tries to get us to go away, get out of the church. Don't be in church because we got so many other things that you can do besides be in the house. You can worship God anywhere. We hear that. Yes, you can worship God anywhere. But he's commanded us in the Bible to come to church and worship him here. He's told us that. Come to the church and learn. Go to Sunday school when you're supposed to go to Sunday school. Wednesday night services. Sunday morning, Sunday night. We need to be in church. Young people need to be in church so they can learn about the Bible, because the world does not want anybody to know about Jesus. So you might hear it out there and then you might not. We don't know. And that's why us Christians need to be doing our job and telling people about Jesus. Tell them there's one that's much greater, much more powerful than the devil, that we need to be seeking and reaching for other than the worldly things that we see. So we've seen that already this week. All that's gone. All that is gone. Is that not the power of God? People want to blame the government. It's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. The Lord is trying to get our attention. Just like he was getting Job's attention. He took all of Job's stuff. It got Job's attention, didn't it? It got his attention. Even though he was perfect and upright in the eyes of God, it still got his attention and had him going back and reassessing his life. Reassessing the things that maybe he did something wrong. Maybe his sons did. He was trying to figure out what was going on, wasn't he? Maybe we need to step out and reassess our Christian walk with God. David had to, didn't he? David had to restore the joy of his salvation. He asked God to restore it, and he did. He didn't ask him to re-save him. We don't get saved twice. But if you're going to a church that says you lose your salvation, that is false. Our salvation is held with God in his hand. Man cannot pluck us from that. Man cannot. You're putting Jesus back on the cross. Back on the cross when you say we lost our salvation. Does that give us an excuse to go out and do worldly things? No. But just like David did, he got out into the world. He sinned against God. He got away from God, and then he come back. And God was there, wasn't he? Did he leave David? Did he leave Job? Did he leave Job when Job had boils on his skin? Have anybody ever seen a boil? They're pretty bad. I've never had one, but being in the medical profession, I've seen them, and they don't look very pleasant. I've heard the screams, and I'm sure they're not very comforting. Job suffered with that. It was his health, wasn't it? We have a virus that our society is blowing way out of proportion. And saying, we were supposed to take precautions. There's nothing wrong with precautions. But we're taking it out of context, taking it out of purpose, and trying to scare the fear into all of us to keep us away from church. Come on. We got to have more faith than that. We got to have faith just like Job did. We got to have faith. Faith is the most important thing we have here. And prayer. And if you're lost, you better be praying. I'm not telling you to do it whenever. I'm telling you to do it now. The Lord's knocking on your heart. You need to be meeting His conditions and getting saved. I can't save you. No one can save you but Jesus Himself. And you have to repent and ask for forgiveness. Come to Him. And you'll get a sweet peace in your heart that this world can never give you. Man will never say, well, you can have this sweet peace. They can't do it. They can't give it to you. God is the only one that can give it to you. And you have to ask. If you're away from God and your Christian walk is not what it should be, kneel down and ask Him to help. We need help too in this walk, don't we? We do need help in this walk. This life that we live, it's hard out there. I'm not going to lie. But we haven't experienced what Job has yet. Some of us may have with our health, but we haven't. America, and we think of it as a country, we've been prosperous for so long. Just think about that. Now all of a sudden, it's gone. The governor of a couple of governors and are telling people to stay, even right down to stay out of church. But then we do the responsible thing, but we need to be here. We need to be worshiping God. I know the society probably does not want to hear that. But we need to be here. God wants us here. He wants us to put our faith in Him. Not man. And so we're letting man take the excuse of some measles virus that we don't know anything about much. And keep us apart. That's the devil. That is Satan at his finest. And we're seeing it before our eyes. I don't know how much time we have, y'all. I don't. I stand before you and tell you, I do not know when God was coming back to come and get us. I do not know when He is going to split that eastern sky. Are we prepared as Christians? Have we been praying like we should? Are our lives where we need to be? I'm telling you, I'm speaking for myself because the devil's been on me. And I've gotten that way, so I'm not speaking just to you all. I'm just as guilty. I need to be more prayerful. I need to have, my faith needs to be stronger, doesn't it? Our strength, our faith in ourselves. We don't need to have faith in ourselves. We need to have faith in Jesus. Amen. Put all our faith in Him, and He will help. Just like He did Job. Oh, you all, my heart's heavy. It's been heavy all morning. I'm praying for these churches that don't have pastors. Our churches are dwindling in numbers because we're bickering between each other and we're not being what the Bible, what Jesus told us, and just forgive them. We're not supposed to come here to worship each other. We're supposed to be at church to worship God, Jesus. So if we have a problem with somebody, what does the Bible tell us? To squash it with them. To figure it out, to forgive them, no matter what it is. But the most important thing is to focus on Jesus. We come to the house to worship God, not to worship everybody else. And that's why we need to be in church. Young people, you need to be in church. You need to learn all you can learn. I got out of church for a little while, and I lost a lot. And when I got told, when the Lord called and told me and I wanted to preach, I had to go backwards a whole lot because I got out of Sunday school. I got a job when I was 16 years old, and that's how Satan does it. Got a job, and that's all it took. And then I got into hung out with some wrong friends that I was hanging out with, and they weren't going to church. And then it's just a domino effect, you know. Eventually, you miss one Sunday, and then you miss two Sundays, and then before you know it, you're not even in church. And that's what that was me. And the Lord got a hold to me one night and told me, God, I need to get it together. I'm wasting time, influence on my friends and people that I love the most because they're lost. And I want them to be saved like me. I want them to have that sweet peace in their hearts. I want them to know that they've been saved, not question it because they've been lied to. I want them to know for sure. I'm thankful for my time and place. I'm thankful for my time and place. Oh, I know you all are. You think Job was thankful for his time and place? I know he was. The Lord tells us and he restored those blessings back to Job. But in Job 4, what does he tell us? 4 and 6. He says, Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? This was just something he was asking. Is that not right? The fear, I'm supposed to fear you, right? You know, it's just a conversation he was having. Job 28 and 28, it says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from the evil is understanding. When that scripture in the first chapter of Job that I was reading, when he was saying Job was an upright man, he feared God and eschewed evil, that's what he was doing. He was getting away from evil. He was running away from it, not partaking any part of evil. When we see evil in the world, let's get away from it. He doesn't want us around it. He wants us to be with Him and in prayer and all that. And He does not want us to be out there being a part of the world. What does it say? We cannot worship two masters. We cannot love one and hate the other. We can't do that. We have to do one or the other. And the Lord does not want us to be away from Him. He wants us to be with Him at all times. He loves us. In Psalms 111 and verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and good understanding. Have all they that do His commandments, heap His praise endureth forever. He endureth forever. Just like He helped Job out. He endured with Job. Job had faith, strong faith, and he's a very good example of it. Proverbs 8. I want us to think about this just for a sec. You know, I'm reading these scriptures, and this is how it's coming to me. This is how He laid it on my heart. Proverbs 8 and 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and forward mouth I do hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So the fear of the Lord, He hates evil. Is to hate evil. Job hated the evil. That's why he did not associate with evil. He shunned it. He pushed it away. He did not have partake in it. We have to learn that and understand that. God, that's what His intent was. And that's what He said to Job. Job was asking these things. I'm about done. In 2 Timothy... 2 Timothy 1 and 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Lord gives us a sound mind. The Lord gave Job a sound mind, but he was still concerned. He knew the Lord had it in control, but he was trying to figure out why. Not questioning God, he was questioning himself, just like I said earlier, just a little bit ago. So he gives us the strength and the love and the sound mind to endure the things that we are going to have to endure in this life, does he not? He gives us the strength to be able to prevail against the devil. God has created a hedge, just much like he did around Job. If we've been saved, that hedge is around us, right? Lord told Job that he could touch his everything else, but he can't touch his soul. He said that, didn't he? Our soul, if we've been saved by grace through faith, is secure with Jesus, is not. He has promised that. He keeps his promises. He does not take his promises back. He does not change or evolve. What he's told us 2,000 years, he's telling us the same thing today. He loves us, and the only way to get saved is repentance and faith. And that's the only way. That's the only way. I'm so thankful today. I feel the love that I'm here in this church, and I'm so thankful to be a part of His children. That no matter what happens, let the world take our jobs. Let the world take our money. We are seeing that right now in front of us. People are going to be flipping out about their money, loss of money. The Lord, that don't matter. It's all the Lord's anyways. If we're secure with Him, we've got everything, don't we? I know we're going to panic in the flesh. To think that to see that taken away, we are going to be just like Job. And we are going to have question. But God has nothing to do with it. He is testing us. He is sending a test. This is a test of our faith. And my thought, if I can bring it out, just one, is a test of faith. That is my thought for you all. My question to you all is, how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? Are we going to be scared and just stay? Or we're going to have faith in God and know that He's protecting us, and that hedge that's around us is around us all the time. You all, I love you all. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know you. I will get to know you. I love to know you like that, but you know that you have a brother that's up here that's trying to do what the Lord's called him to do, and I want you all to do the same thing. Stay in church. Teach, learn as much as you can, because it's going to come a time and day that we may not hear it out there at all. It's getting there. And if we do speak up, then we get ridiculed for it, or we get punished, or they're going to take this or that away. I'm sorry, what God says is wrong, and we have to come to Him even after we've done it and ask for forgiveness. A lot of people don't want to hear that. You're stepping on my toes. I'm sorry. The Lord stepped on my toes when He called me to preach and said, get off your rear end and do something. You know, I have to do it, you know. I had to do it. I didn't have a choice. And I didn't want to do it. I fought it. But I love Him now for it. And I'm trying to do it. I don't do a good job. I'm just doing what He'd have me to do. I'm going to finish with what Isaiah said. Isaiah was a smart man. Let's see what he said. And I'm going to finish with that. In the 41st chapter. Forty-first chapter ten and eleven. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will I will help thee, yea, I will help, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. And so in that 10th, he will be with us. Be not dismayed. Be not distraught and tore all to pieces because of what you hear on the news. Turn it off. Turn social media off. Y'all, let's get our face out of the phone. And I'm telling you, I'm just as guilty as the next person. We got to get our face out of the phone. We got to get our face out of the computer. We got to get our face out of everything else but focused on Jesus. That's where we need to be. Our society doesn't want to hear that. But I'm telling you right now, it's ruining us. It's ruining us. Technology is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not. But it is destroying us. It's destroying the churches because our kids can't focus on what they're doing because they're too busy looking at video games, looking at their phones, looking at things that distract them from what God has brought them to the house to do, and that's worship Him. And that's where we are as a society. And I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm working. My wife, you ask my wife, she'll say, well, put that phone down. You know, we're all guilty of it. We just got to work on it, don't we? Just things. We little things. Job, that's what Job was doing, wasn't he? Just, I got to work on me. It's my fault. What do I need to do to fix it? The Lord loves you. Jesus died on the cross for all of us to come to repentance. That's what was the plan, right? That was what the whole plan was. We're supposed to repent and ask Him to save our unworthy souls. But then we get saved and then we think we can go out and just do whatever. And that's not the case, because then we lose our influence on our friends and the people that we love around us. Because if you're like me, I have people in my family that I want to see saved. And if I'm out there doing the things of this world, if I'm participating in things I should not, that makes them not want to come to church. Because they're like, well, you're doing that, why can't I? And that's where we're at as a society, y'all. Please, I beg you and I pray for this church and all the churches that make this little area up, that we stay strong. And our strength does not come from me. It does not come from our own individual strength. But our strength comes from God. That's where it comes from. You all, I'm so thankful this morning, this afternoon. Y'all pray for me. I just want to do what the Lord would have me to do and be the example to people around me. That's all I want. That's what David prayed. I got out in the world and lost my joy for a little while, and the Lord's restored that. I can feel it in my heart. I'm so thankful. That's what we have to do. We have to get our joy back, don't we? This whole world can beat us up. It can be bad, but if we got Him, He's going to help us through our hardships. And we're facing some hardships now that are more unprecedented than probably a lot of people probably haven't seen. And we need to be trusting and having faith in Him and not our government, not our family members that we think highly of, not anybody else but Jesus. And then everything else will come to play. And what happened to Job? God blessed him back with triple the amount of he got triple the amount of sheep back. He got his seven sons back. He got his daughters back. He got his wife. He got all that back. God blessed him, didn't he, at the end? Because he was faithful. He's going to bless us at the end. And we may not see it while we're here, while we're here on this in this life. But our rewards in heaven are going to be great if we just do what He'd have us to do while we're here. Because that's be a good example that we need. We need to tell people about Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Be proud. Be happy. Not arrogant, but proud that you know Him. You have that relationship with you, and build that relationship. Make it better. I'm done. I appreciate you all.